Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. Today, we start a brand new sermon series on Psalm 23 called The Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that really mean? Listen in as Eugene McCurdy shares a great message from Psalm 23. If you want to find out more about Cornerstone, visit us online at mycornerstone.org.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, typical church fashion, we'll try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing? We good? Can you hear me all right? All the way in the back? Good? Okay, whatever. Before I go into everything, I do want to make an announcement that we missed this morning, is that the Discover Lunch is next week after second service. If you're interested in becoming a member of the church or just want to find out a little bit more about Cornerstone, we will be having a lunch after second service next week. Okay, so as Mike mentioned this morning, I did get brought into being an elder here at Cornerstone. It's something that I would have, never thought in my wildest dreams when I was, not dreams, but, my thoughts when I was younger. I was talking with a buddy of mine from high school. His name's Corey. We were talking last week, and we were talking about, it's weird being old and, realizing that you're old and that, that you have to be an adult all the time, right? And that, life is different from when you're a teenager. And we were talking about, being parents and, our kids are getting older and we're just, we're a little bit nervous about where they're going to end up. What are they going to do? Are they going to, follow after God as they get older and get out of the house and whatever? And he said something to me that it was just all right, Corey, he'll say the dumbest thing and the smartest thing all in the same sentence. He's just one of those guys. Love him to death. We've been best friends since 10th. I was in 10th grade in typing class of all things. It was one of those mandatory classes and none of us really liked it. And it was actually on a typewriter, not on a computer. For the younger people in the room, look up what a typewriter is. But he reminded me of something. He said, if you would have looked at yourself, thinking back to when I was 15 or 16, would I have thought that I would be where I am today? And all the things that I was doing at that age and the stupidity that I was, involved in, would I have ever thought that I'd be here today? No, not in a million years would I have thought that. I might have thought that I'd be a husband and a dad, maybe, chased after enough girls when I was younger that there's a pretty good chance I was going to get married, but to have the opportunity to be up here in front of a crowd of people preaching and telling people about Jesus, that was not me at that age, but that's just how good God is, right? Amen? Amen. Amen. That's how good God is. He takes us from the wonderful paths that we try to lead ourselves down and puts us on a new path. And that's kind of what we're getting into this week. But we're going to be talking on Psalm 23, as you can see on the screen, the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 is only 6 verses long, but we're going to be talking about it over the next 3 weeks, like this week and 2 more weeks. And you wouldn't think that a passage that's only 6 verses long that you could talk about for 3 different Sundays. So you're wondering how we can do that. You'll find out. Listen today, listen next week, and listen the following week, and you'll find out how we can do it. Because I don't know. I have no clue. But I'm not doing the next couple weeks, so I'll do my part today. See, you guys thought I was going to give you something inspirational there. You're like silly sheep. Speaking of sheep, that's what we're going to be talking about this week. Come on, guys. It's dad puns. You guys awake yet? Come on. And I apologize for water. I need it to survive up here. So this week's message is titled, The Lord is My Shepherd. And the Bible talks a lot about how, we're compared to sheep and being shepherded through our life. And, me being the city slicker that I am, not really, I didn't grow up in the city. I grew up in a rural, that's a tough word to say, area. But I didn't grow up on a farm, so I don't know much about farms. And the only thing I know is, you know, what meat is coming from there that's going to go good with my mashed potatoes, right? Because that's just who I am. So I thought I might take some time this week and try to figure that out. So I spent some time with some sheep this week, and I have pictures to show. So that's me and my sheep swinging in my front yard. And the next one is me and the sheep staring up at the sky, making shapes out of the clouds that look like sheep. And then the last one, we were up in the field, and we were playing none other than hide-and-go-sheep. But anyway, just so you know, that's what's in the bag. He came along with me. My youngest daughter, had a sheep, and I brought him with me. She kept asking me, "Dad, why are you taking the sheep this morning?" I was like, "You'll see. He's not going to stand up, but whatever." Okay. Now I'll try to be serious. So obviously, me knowing nothing about, you can take the picture down now, Brady. me knowing nothing about sheep, I didn't really go out to a farm. Obviously, I did what any good techie geek would do, is I Googled it so I could find out more about sheep and all of that. And we'll get into a little bit more of that later. Right now, let's get into the actual verses that we're talking about this morning. So it's Psalm 23. Most of you probably already know it. There's lots of different times and places that this is read. It's an amazing, amazing verse, or passage. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close with me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all of the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I was really thinking about what David was saying here in this psalm, because to me, he must have been going through a pretty tough time, right? Maybe going through one of those valleys that we go through in life. And then this just kind of poured out from his heart when he realized that how good God is and all of that. And it's a very personal type of scripture. It's not so much about us as a church whole. It's about me, I, you, and God. It's like a one-on-one kind of passage where it's you speaking and talking to the God of the universe. And to me, that's a pretty amazing thing, that a God that created everything and anything that we see in this earth is willing to have a one-on-one personal relationship with me and with you. And so that's what David is trying to point out here. And it's amazing to just think about. So the first point today, getting into shepherd and sheep. What is a shepherd? So most of you actually know probably what a shepherd is, but I'm going to give you the actual dictionary definition. It says, a person who tends to and rears sheep. That's what it said, to rear sheep. And I was like, what does rear sheep mean? I'm the man child. I was like, rear. but to rear is to tend to and watch over a child or an animal, which makes sense, right? That's somebody watching over a kid. That's God watching over us as his children. Or, again, as we'll talk a whole lot about, we are sheep. The next thing in the passage it talks about, it says, I shall not need, or it says, some say I shall not want. I think King James says that, or that we won't lack. And that shows that God promises to provide every single one of our needs. And it goes even further. It says, he's showing that us, as we are considered sheep, that he will let us rest in green meadows. So not only is that like being able to rest, being able to have shelter, a place to sleep, but also when you wake up and you see just like a piece of grass next to your head, you just nibble on it. He's going to provide food as well as a place to rest. And then it says that he's going to lead us beside peaceful streams, which means he's going to give us water, which to me, that's like the three main necessities in life, right? Food, water, and a place to sleep. And God's promising to give that. So when those times come when the bills are higher, the stack of bills is higher than the stack of money that you have, you know, God is going to still provide those needs. He's not going to let you go hungry. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to let you go without. Maybe some of the stuff that you want, you know, the extra stuff, he might let you go without. But he expects us to use the money that he gives us to spend it on the necessities. It also says that he will guide us along right paths. And even when we walk through the darkest moments in our life, the valley of the shadow of death is what like the King James Version says. And I like that visual, the valley of shadow of death. Like, well, this will be the first of two Lion King references. If you think about in Lion King where like they go to the dark parts where they're not supposed to go and it's all dingy and like the bones and all that. That's what I think about when I think of the valley of the shadow of death. It's just kind of a dark place. But he's going to walk with us through those moments. Through those crazy, you know, thought process, through those quiet times where our brain is going way too fast for our own good. But he says that he's going to walk close beside us. He's not like 20 feet away. He's right here next to you, walking with you, guiding your path. Because sheep scare easily, right? You know, it doesn't take much to scare a sheep. And there's, you know, Brady and I were talking about fainting goats. Those are hilarious. Watch videos of those. It's funny to watch. But sheep scare easily. You know, they take off running when they're frightened. Anything, quick movements, loud noises, a dog chasing them, whatever it might be, that's going to scare them. They're going to run. But if the shepherd is there, you know, the shepherd is there to say, okay, you know what? It's okay. Listen to my voice. Walk with me. We're good. Okay, so going into the next, I'm going to go through a few of these verses. Talk about them. The next part, it says, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. A shepherd's staff is used both, you know, as a tool to guide the animal along, you know, bump it, keep it moving, but it's also used for discipline, right? And sometimes, I know for me, I'm not going to talk about you, you can think about this, but we need discipline, right? When we do something stupid that God doesn't approve of, sometimes we need some discipline. Now, our consequences of what we've done wrong might come into play, but you know, sometimes we just need God to, you know, bring us back in. And again, okay, here's a second Lion King reference. It reminds me of when Rafiki the monkey smacks Lion King on the top of the head. You know, everybody remember that? Younger ones might not. It's okay. Go watch a movie. So by now, you've kind of gathered that I'm saying Jesus is the shepherd. We're the sheep. Do we have that basis down, right? We good? Yes? Amen? All right, cool. I'm going to take a sip of water then. So then we'll go into point number two. What do we have in common with sheep? So again, I Googled it. Let's go into some facts about sheep. And then I'll, of course, you know, bring it into actual reference, what I'm talking about. The sheep, I have a few sheep fun facts. The first fun fact is that sheep follow other sheep, which obviously we know. We see sheep in a herd or flock, whatever called, they follow each other around, right? And the thing is that sometimes the sheep go the right way, but sometimes, and you can get all these references in here, is that there's a crazy sheep that gets a wild wool, you know, gets some wild wool and he goes off wandering, right? And these sheep are watching this sheep walk off and they're like, well, he can see, he's part of this flock, but he's going over there and doing that. So I must be allowed to go over and do the same thing, right? Are you guys picking up the reference here? Yes? You know, as Christians, sometimes, you know, we're like, well, they consider themselves a Christian, and they're going over and doing that. Why can't I go do that? And then you just see everybody walking, right? And I hear all the parents in the room, right? I know I've said it to my kids, is that if your kid walks off the cliff, if the group walks off the cliff, are you going to go walk with them? You know, what are sheep going to do? They're going to follow. They're going to go off the cliff. I'm sorry. They're going to go jump off the cliff with them, right? Sheep follow sheep. That's the whole point of this. And they'll jump off a cliff with each other and have fun doing it, I guess. And they'll even follow each other straight into the slaughter, right to the end. They'll just follow the sheep and they're just going to go in and die together because that's how they're hardwired, right? And as a group of people, you know, sometimes we think the same way. It's not that we're hard. I guess we are kind of hardwired to follow. It's just sometimes we don't follow the right way. So I like to refer, when I'm talking about people following like sheep, I call them, put it together, sheeple, right? So sheeple follow other people, sometimes mindlessly, sometimes blindly. Sometimes that's good if you're following the right thing. If you're following Jesus blindly, great, do it, follow him. But if you're following the wrong crowd blindlessly, you know, you're not going to always do what you're supposed to be doing, and sometimes they're going to lead you right off a cliff. And sometimes we're so busy doing this, scrolling as we go, right, that we don't even see the cliff in front of us because we're so busy worrying about what everybody else is doing instead of worrying about where you are. And that goes back to the one-on-one. You're supposed to be taking that time to spend with God. So we're going to get into John chapter 10, and there is a lot of verses here, so hang in with me. There's 30 of them to be exact, but there'll be a point at the end, so hang on. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. And how many times do we do that? We read what Jesus says, and then we're like, I don't get it. So he explains it. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Again, that goes back to, you know, green meadows, resting, good pastures, good place to eat. I think it was steakhouse, personally. But the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, Jesus speaking again, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. So all of you that think that just the non-denominational Christians are getting to go to heaven, you're wrong. All denominations are going to be there, whether you like it or not, and we will all worship one God all at the same time because we will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it back up again, and he obviously did that. For this is what my Father has commanded. When he said these things, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said, he's demon possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to a man like that? And others said, this doesn't sound like a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Which, yeah, very true. It was now winter. It just skips down. It was now winter, and Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. He was in the temple walking through the section known as Solomon's Colonnade. The people surrounded him and asked him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And again, sometimes we do need Jesus to tell us things plainly. But he replied, I've already told you and you don't believe me. How true is that today? Jesus tells us stuff. We're like, we didn't really hear that. The proof is in the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. All right. Take a breath. Take a sip of water. That was a lot of reading. But it's good stuff. You know, not only, you know, what Jesus was saying here is not only is he the shepherd, but he also refers to himself as the gate or the gatekeeper of the sheepfold. So anyone or anything that's trying to get into the sheepfold has to go through him, good or bad. So if we are following Christ closely, if we have him next to us, close beside us, right? And when when something tries to come against us, when something tries to get in the sheepfold and attack, he's going to be there waiting. He's ready to fight for you. He's ready to take vengeance. Vengeance is his, thus saith the Lord. King James, whatever. But the other side of it is that, you know, somebody who needs and wants to be inside the sheepfold has to also come through Christ. If you want to be saved, if you want to have him as Lord, you have to, you know, if you want to be close to God, you have to go through Jesus, because Jesus is the one that covers our sins. He's the one that sacrificed himself for us. It says that very plainly in that scripture. And then if you're in that sheepfold, if you are truly in that sheepfold, then you're going to know his voice. And one of the voices that Christ uses is, you know, another part of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes in. Obviously, you know, you have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming into play. The Holy Spirit, when you're a Christian, dwells within you. And it's another sheep fact. But the Holy Spirit is like a type of sheep that they call leader sheep. Apparently, there's a certain strain of sheep in Iceland known as leader sheep. They're highly intelligent animals that can speak better than I can. And they have the ability and instinct to lead a flock home during difficult conditions. And they have an exceptional ability to sense danger. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. The Holy Spirit is like, hey, you know, you're going to do that stupid thing again. You need to pay attention, wake up. You know, you're walking right in there again, ready to walk off that cliff. And he's also obviously there to, you know, walk us through that, again, the valley of the shadow of death. Another thing about this is that if Jesus say, we know his voice, then there's obviously other voices that are out there, right? There's going to be some other voice other than Jesus that is going to try to get our attention. And it says it again in the scripture, it says that there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And obviously we know that thief as the devil is Satan, who hates our guts because he hates God, because he got kicked out of heaven. And he's mad, and we look like him because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So he's going to come after us, and he's going to attack us and try to get us, you know, get us away from the rest of the sheep. He's going to try to keep us away and keep us, you know, from talking to people and hiding out from people. But again, we don't have to fear evil, it says it in the passage, because he is with us. So that rolls into the next sheep fun fact. Is that sheep are very social animals. Studies done show that sheep require the presence of at least 4 or 5 sheep when they're grazing together, and they maintain a visual link to each other. And I was reading that, like, you know, their eyes are on the side of their head, and they get, like, this really crazy, like, view of everything going on around them to keep an eye out, make sure that they're kind of staying together. And the whole thing with that is that we need to be like sheep and not separate ourselves from each other. And with, you know, obviously the pandemic and everything going on, you know, we still have to stay, you know, we stay 6 feet away and we wear masks and we do all of that. But that doesn't mean that as a church that we have to stay away from one another. You know, we can come, we can stay safe, wash your hands, keep your hands off your face, wear the mask, all of that. But we can still hang out. We can still talk. You know, we have these cool devices, you know, that have text messaging and FaceTime. I'm talking Apple. I don't know what Android has. You know, there's Zoom calls and Google calls and, like, all of this different types of stuff, that there's ways to keep in touch with people. There's ways to stay in touch with people so that we can keep accountable to ourselves, to them, and most importantly, to God. Hebrews 10:25 says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So even scripture says that we're not supposed to, like, forsake getting together and talking with people. Again, because of all of this that's going on right now, you know, we have to find new ways to do it, but that doesn't mean don't. You know, we still need each other. We still need that contact with people. Especially Christians, to keep ourselves accountable. Because an idle mind is the devil's playground. So, now, I talked about the good facts about being sheep and being in a flock and being together. But I want to go on just a side trail just for a minute to talk about more sheep fun facts. And then we'll get back to like the rest of the comparisons. But the next fun sheep fact is sheep are destructive. If you've ever been around sheep or goats or whatever, they tend to wreck stuff, especially in large crowds. So I'd say this also kind of sounds like humans, right? When we get in large groups, sometimes we can be destructive. So let's talk about 2020. So we've seen from the beginning of the year, you know, we started off all good, honky-dory, then the pandemic rolls in, right? Then everything shuts down and we can't find toilet paper and whatever other things that we're missing, Clorox wipes, because everybody needs to clean everything, which is good. I'm not saying that's bad. But it was just kind of one of those things. And then the murder hornets. Did anybody forget about the murder hornets? They said there was. I never saw one. But, you know, I saw a video of a guy that had one, and he purposefully stung himself with this. Yeah, it was bad. So don't get stung by a murder hornet. And then UFOs. The government said that they saw UFOs. But where did that news go? Nobody's talking about it. But it's just 2020. That's what we say now. It's just 2020. And then probably my favoriteest thing is politics and the division. Not just with politics, with race, with everything. On all of the social medias, everywhere you look, on TV, it's all about division. You know, the devil, the Bible says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against, I'm not going to get it right, the spiritual things that we don't see. That's my version of that. Okay, so like all of the demons and the devil and all of that, that's our common enemy. You know, and he'll get in there and he'll throw things in there to try to divide us as humans, as Christians, because he doesn't want us to be around one another, because he knows when Jesus' flock gets together, it's bad for him, right? Then all the things that we're doing, we start realizing that we're doing, and then we repent and we draw closer to God, which is everything that he does not want. But we need to be careful, because I can tell you, I've seen people's Facebook comments, even as Christians. I've seen your comments and all of that, and the keyboard warriors and what you're speaking out against. And I mean, I know that you feel great about this stuff and you really want to tell people your opinions. But everybody knows the phrase of what opinions are like. I'm not going to share it here because I'll get in trouble. Look it up later. Maybe not. Anyway, but, you know, if we're going, we can have opinions, right? We can have opposing opinions. We can debate about those things, but we do not have to debate with our fists. We do not have to do it in an angry way. We could talk to people. I remember that like in high school, there was the debate team. It was people like debating about stuff and they didn't agree on the same thing, but it was okay. It was okay to talk about it. We didn't have to get into like this crazy rant, this crazy thing, and like go burn down buildings and all of this stuff. We didn't have to do that. And we still don't have to do that. But we could just talk. But we have to do it in love. If we don't talk in love, we're never going to get our points across, right? We need to share the love of Christ with people, and you can share your opinions in love. Sorry, that's my soapbox. Okay, so that leads into the next point. I don't know if I have, no, I don't have this as a thing, but sheep stuck on their back can't do anything unless somebody is helping them. So if the sheep gets stuck on its back, it's stuck there. I mean, this is a fake sheep, but like real sheep, if they get stuck on their back, and no, Brady, we're not showing the video. He showed me a video and it's kind of humorous. Somebody filming a poor sheep on his back. But I found out something first service. Somebody told me that's a great way to shear a sheep is to put them on their back because they can't do anything about it. But I'm going to bring this into the reference of humans, obviously. We feel the world is against us. Sometimes when we're walking through that dark valley, that dark place in our life, and we want to just go in a corner, get in the fetal position and cry ourselves to sleep. You know, that's the moments where we're kind of on our back and we're kind of stuck, right? And that's the moments where Christ can walk in and he can do a miracle and he can flip us and put us back on our feet. And he can, like, he can change everything. But the thing is that even sometimes Christ used us. He'll use us to go in and to help, right? So we're going to read, John 21:16. Now, I want to preface this, okay? This was after the crucifixion and Christ was resurrected. And, you know, obviously we know the story of where Peter denied Christ three times. There was, you know, he was walking around trying to follow to see what was going on with Jesus when he was taken. And there was people that were calling Peter out. And he's like, they're all saying, you're one of them. You're with Jesus, aren't you? And no. And he kept three times. And the thing is that, like, Jesus told him straight up. He's like, you're going to deny me three times. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that to you, bro. I'm going to stay with you till the end. I'll die if I have to. And Jesus is like, I'm telling you, you're going to deny me three times. And then the rooster is going to crow. And sure enough, Jesus was right. You know, Peter denied him three times. And after he denied him the third time, then the rooster crowed. And, you know, so Peter was kind of in a funk. He was like, okay, Jesus is going to hate me. I just denied him, not just once or twice, but three times. And it was exactly what he said I was going to do. So he's feeling horrible about it. So now we come to this. Jesus is resurrected. He comes back to Peter and he asks him this three times. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord. Peter said, you know I love you. He said, then take care of my sheep. So I want you guys to know that it's not just the five or six elders that are in this church that are responsible to take care of all of the sheep. We are called as Christians. When we accept Christ, he calls us. Matthew 28:19 says that we are to go make disciples in all of the world to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? We are to go out. Everybody's supposed to go out and do this work because we can't get everybody. There's people that you know that I don't know, right? And there's people that I know that you don't know. So we all need to be doing that work. We all need to be going out and we need to be taking care of the sheep that are walking off and getting lost. And in this time where, you know, we can't always, you know, there was a while that we couldn't meet in church. And so, you know, people have kind of fallen away. Like, I'm not saying like they're going to hell. I'm saying like, you know, you get into that habit. You know, if you stop reading your Bible, you miss a couple days of not reading it or whatever, you just kind of get in that habit, oh, well, I'll catch up. Or you stop going to church and it's like, oh, well, we'll go next week and the next week rolls around. Oh, well, I missed last week, so what is it going to matter if I miss another week? But we need to find those people and get to them and bring them back in to the sheepfold. So one last scripture, it's Matthew 18, 12 through 14. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out and search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. So I'm going to call the praise team back up as we finish this up. But I just want you to know that Jesus will leave 99 to come and chase after you. He sees you walking blindly. He knows where you're at. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. He knows what you're going through. He knows that valley that you're walking through right now. He knows what's going on, and he sees the cliff ahead of you, right? He's willing to go and chase after you. And going through the rest of that passage, he will walk through tough times with you. He will prepare a meal for you in the presence of your enemies. So all those people, the people that don't like you, he's going to prepare a meal in front of them, with them, and he's going to sit next to you and protect you from them, and you're going to get through it just fine. He honors you. He anoints you. His unfailing love will pursue you all of the days of your life, and then you will live in the house along with me of the Lord forever. Not just a few years. This is forever. I have to say that that's an amazing God that we serve. Somebody who's willing to come down, sacrifice everything he had in heaven, to come down and be like one of us, and to take that on and then to die for us. It says, a good shepherd is going, he's willing to die for his sheep. He's willing to fight that wolf that's going to come against him, that's going to come against you. He's there waiting for that fight. So if you're feeling fear, if you're feeling like you are just down and just can't get out of this, if you feel that you're stuck on your back and you can't get up, call out to him. Ask him to bring you the strength that you need. Ask him to save you in that moment, because he's willing to. He's willing to save you exactly where you are today, but he's not going to leave you where you're at. That's the thing. Be prepared. It's not just about salvation. It's not just about getting saved. It's not just about praying that prayer. It's about that walk that comes afterward. Because when we go through the junk that's going to come in our lives, he's going to walk with you in those moments. I've had a lot of those moments. And I'm telling you that he will be right there next to you, willing to hold you. And he will send people in your path when you least expect it. And if you're one of those people that's being sent in somebody else's path, pay attention. If you see somebody down and out and on their back, pay attention. Help them up. Give them the helping hand. But lead them to Jesus. Because you can't save them. You can't do it. All you can do is point and say, this is how I get through things. Because I don't want to do this life on my own. And I hope you don't either. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for another just beautiful day you've blessed us with. Thank you for allowing us to see and to read this scripture that David poured out from his heart, Lord, to know that you are our shepherd, that you are willing to walk with us, walk closely next to us, keep us from walking off the cliffs, that you sent your spirit down to dwell within us. And Lord, I just pray that we're willing to see that. We're willing to see you and know you and draw close to you every single day, Lord. I pray that if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that before they leave today, that they will just draw into you, that they will call out to you, that they will make you Lord of their life, that they will repent from the things that they know they're doing that's wrong, and that they will follow and chase after you. Lord, I thank you for just giving us the green meadows and the peaceful streams and the moments to spend one-on-one with you. Just be with us as we leave here. We give you all the glory and praise. In Christ's name, amen. As the praise team sings the final song here, we do have communion. If you'd like to take communion, if you have something that's just burdening on your heart, you can go over to the cross and kneel and pray. We have a box over there where you can fill out and put a prayer request in the box, and the elders will take it and we pray over it, because we love you guys. But just, take this time. If you want to just stay where you're at and sing, just sing. But sing knowing you're singing and praising the God that created everything in this universe. Thanks.